If you would, turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. My lesson is entitled, What Are We Teaching Our Children? Most of you know, most of you here know me pretty well, and have heard lessons that I've presented around this time of year, and this lesson isn't any different. I chose the title of this lesson, What Are We Teaching Our Children? Our children are growing up in a time where things are stranger and more difficult than ever. I'm 31 years old, and I've seen big changes in the last 10 to 15 years. Things that just a few years ago that were nearly unheard of are in the news and in commercials, polluting the minds of our children. They are taught and hear things in school that we have to teach against. We as parents ought to be involved in every aspect of our children's raising. In the Old Testament, we're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may obtain, may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God and keep his commandments, and his commandments which I command you, you and your sons and your grandsons, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you might multiply greatly as the Lord God your fathers has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk in the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. God is telling the people here to teach the children his commandments and his statutes. The same applies to us today. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. I base this lesson on a conversation that I heard just a few days ago. A child, 8 years old, came up to me and said, look what I got at school today. He opened a box and it was a bell. He told me, he told me that it was given to him by a fictional character, that the bell was off his sleigh. As he shook the bell near my ear, he asked me if I could hear the bell ringing. And before I go any further, I have to tell you that this reminded me of a scene in a movie, The Polar Express, where a child got a bell off of a sleigh and he couldn't hear it ring because he didn't believe in this person. As he shook the bell, he asked me if I could hear it ringing. And my response was, is it supposed to ring? I said this to see if the child was going to, where the child was going with that question. And sure enough, his response was, if I couldn't hear it, I didn't believe. Later that evening, while listening to the child's mother telling the story of the bell, I heard this. While they were in the car on the way home from school, the child looked at the bell and asked the question, what does made in Taiwan mean? You see, the people that handed out the bell forgot to take the sticker off of where the bell was made. The child's mother replied that Taiwanians are a tribe of people that help this person. At first, that sounds funny, but then so sad. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6 again. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now ask yourself if this mother is raising her child according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. This applies to other holidays with fictional characters. I want you to consider these scriptures this morning. John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the next chapter, 4, verses 23 through 24, but the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. I also want you to look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. It is in belief that we obey God. We obey God because we believe what He says and what He's going to do to us if we don't obey Him. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. And He brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said to Him, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and his family were saved. Were baptized, excuse me. They believed and they obeyed. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 1. No, I'm not that good a reader, but this is a long reading, but I think it's important. In Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 1, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness and he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was translated so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, preparing an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to the faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and bore a child, and when she was past the age, because she judged him, faithful, who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars in the sky, and the multitude innumerable as the sands which are by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them from afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they are called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for God has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 days by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he had become of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the kings, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of wickedness were made strong men, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sawn in two, were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy, the wandering in the deserts and the mountains and the dens and the caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. All these people believed in God. They put the cares of the world behind them, and they obeyed his commandments. I know this lesson was fairly short, but in conclusion, this is what I want you to think about. If we have our children believing in fictional characters and stoke their beliefs that these people, stoke their beliefs in these people by doing these things to further that belief, are we serving our children's best interests? That is, are we raising them to serve God so that one day they will believe and obey so they can go to heaven? Are we serving their best interests? Or are we teaching them it's okay to lie? In closing, I have two more passages from the Holy Scriptures I want us to look at, and that's Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, starting at verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to run to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. We need to teach our children to serve the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. It may not be popular, but it's better to suffer the wrath of people here on earth than to suffer the wrath of God. That's my lesson this morning. I want to offer the invitation to anyone who has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, the will of God. If you believe in what God can do for you, you confess the name of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you repent of your sins and turn away from those sins and try to do your best to obey the commandments of God, and you want to be baptized where we meet the blood of Jesus Christ, the immersion in water, to have your sins washed away, we can help you with that this morning. The water's ready. If you've obeyed and you need the prayers of the congregation for any reason, if you've fallen away or have a problem in your life, we can help you with that too if you'll let us know as we stand and sing.